The National Human Trafficking Resource Center reports that in 2015, Michigan officials received more than 700 calls related to human trafficking. Now, human trafficking is the practice of coercing someone into forced labor or sexual slavery. A conference this week in Ann Arbor seeks to find strategies to eliminate the crisis in Michigan. The gathering is the first of its kind ever held in the state. We have two guests joining us today to talk about the scope of human trafficking in Michigan. The Honorable Michelle Rick is a judge in the 29th Circuit Court, which covers Clinton and Gratiot counties. She's a member of the Michigan Human Trafficking Commission. And also here in studio is Jane White. She's the director of the Michigan Human Trafficking Task Force. Thanks to both of you for being here today on Current State.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Judge, let's start with you. You each represent different entities working to combat human trafficking. Let's start off by distinguishing the Michigan Human Trafficking Commission from the task force. Judge Rick, you're on the commission. What's the mission and what's your role within it?
Well, the mission of the task force is to continue the work of the, of the commission is to continue the work of the first commission that was formed several years ago. I was appointed in 2015, as well as other members of law enforcement, prosecutors, victim advocates, etc. And our charge is there are many things that we have to do. We are looking to promote community awareness for human trafficking. We are charged with looking at the existing laws and making recommendations to improve upon those laws. We are charged with training professionals, be they healthcare professionals, law enforcement officers, courts, etc., so that there is a better awareness related to human trafficking.
Now, Jane, you lead the task force. Now, how is it organized and what's your mandate?
We're organized in terms of bringing agencies and individuals together to bring three factions. One is awareness, and awareness includes a multitude of kinds of things, whether it is working with the legislature in terms of how best to serve victims. It is whether or not training is involved. We do a lot of training in law enforcement, medical people, doctors, nurses, school teachers. The second one is supporting prosecution, which is really important, and again, a wide array of services. And the last is providing support to victims as such, the focus.
You know, it's kind of surprising to me that human trafficking is still an issue in today's society. Sometimes we live in our own bubbles. We don't even think about it existing, but there's been a keen focus on it lately, Judge Rick. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that we've come to realize that we need to look beneath the surface and not accept things at face value, and that there are individuals who are highly vulnerable, be they adult or minors, who find themselves in trafficking situations. Runaways are particularly vulnerable. And, you know, when we talk about trafficking, it's important to remember that there are different types of trafficking. There's labor trafficking and there's sex trafficking. And with respect to labor, there are individuals who may be kept in bondage, if you will, by virtue of their work relationship. Are they migrants, for example, and they have to give up their passports when they come to work in the United States? Are there requirements that they pay to leave their employment? That would be another sign of someone who's labor trafficked. With respect to sex trafficking, which again can affect men, women, boys, girls, there are signs that may not readily be apparent if not paid attention to that indicate there's something far more devious and ugly than what the surface would present.
Now, when you're talking about sex trafficking, are you talking about girls or young women who are transported around the country, or can this just be localized where they're kind of beholden to somebody and they're staying put, but they're beholden to somebody and they have to actually go out and prostitute themselves, I guess, for lack of a better word?
Exactly. I would say it is the latter.
Okay.
And I would again reinforce that, that this happens regardless of gender. It can be men, it can be boys, it can be women or girls, but yes, it doesn't. There is no requirement that an individual be transported across state lines or country lines in order for there to be trafficking.
Jane White, tell our listeners how you got interested in this subject and why it's important to you.
It's important to me because slavery still exists. It has always existed in the United States, but it's hard to believe in today's world that it does. The third issue that the judge, she addressed the other two so very well, is the supply chain. And that is a very sobering thought that all of us are involved in receiving services or merchandise or kinds of things that make our life better by someone who is actually in the slave trade, often children who have been exploited and are trafficked. The reason that I was involved because I'm a former police officer and worked at MSU in criminal justice and saw some astounding kinds of things in terms of organized crime, in terms of partnerships with people who utilize right under our noses, children, men, women, in terms of actual slave labor.
You're listening to Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter, filling in for Mark Bayshore. The topic of the morning so far is human trafficking. Judge Michelle Rick from the 29th Circuit Court is joining us, as well as Jane White, the director of Human Trafficking Task Force here for the state of Michigan. Jane, human trafficking is complex, and it's, some reports call it the second fastest growing business in the world. Is it even possible to quantify the size of that?
No, unfortunately, it is not, because we have not yet qualified a system to be able to give us accurate data and information. And that's one of the really top needs that exists, is to be able to quantify and qualify issues of what trafficking really is, because we do live in a world where we want numbers. And so when those kinds of things are brought about, it's very difficult because we don't have adequate research. Mm-hmm. Do we know it's a problem? Absolutely. There isn't a community in this state that probably has not been somewhat impacted by the issues of examples of human trafficking.
Judge, your jurisdiction is Clinton and Gratiot County. What type of human trafficking cases do you see in your courtroom?
Well, I think that we are hopefully going to become more educated by virtue of the conference that will be held tomorrow in Ann Arbor. But cases can involve charges of domestic violence, a resist and obstruct. They can be family law cases. They can be civil cases. Really, any case has the potential of there being a trafficking situation underneath. And our conference is designed as such that we're bringing together teams. In my community, we're bringing law enforcement, victim services, probation department personnel, child protective services personnel, and myself. And one of the goals of our conference is to get these teams talking so that we not only become better educated, but better prepared so that we recognize cases that have an element of human trafficking.
Now, Judge, going off that here, when you hear of human trafficking, I think the initial thought is that we've got one person who's carrying around like five people in the back of a van and they're doing sexual favors for individuals. But as you explained earlier, it's not that it's not that cut and dry, that there's many layers to it. And the legislature has tried to combat it by passing more legislation to try and bring a higher focus to it. Is that the answer, or is there something else that can be done to try and push back at this growing epidemic?
I would say it's such a huge problem. There is no one answer or nor one silver bullet. It requires community eyes and ears. It requires a coordination of a variety of players. Recently, there was a toll-free number that had been posted at area rest stops, and That's not only for victims who may find themselves in a situation of being trafficked, but also for individuals who have suspicions about trafficking. And that National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline number is 1-888-3737-888. But it takes all of us.
Jane, you see what happens to victims outside of the legal setting. What does it take to build a reliable, cooperating network of services to help the victims?
Well, an important concept is the issue of collaboration. And collaboration requires trust that often it does not exist between our very good kinds of services that it do. So when we talk about needs and those kinds of things, our number one need is the issue of housing. And that has been identified nationally as well as in our state of Michigan, that when there is a rescue of those who are involved, whether labor or sexual exploitation, that immediately we have housing that is available for them. Other kinds of services that are crucial are legal services, psychiatric counseling services, health services. We know identification of victims through the health system rarely exists, but the medical community has really responded well in terms of training to identify these kinds of things. So as you indicated, there is just a myriad of needs and recognition and support financially in terms of the services available.
So do you believe that people are adequately trained for these?
No.
Oh.
And it's not because people don't want to be. It is, as the judge indicated, it's hidden underground in terms of what it is. We don't recognize it. I've never conducted a police training where there haven't been officers who have come up who don't indicate that they indeed had cases of human trafficking but didn't recognize that's what they were. We're still putting victims in jail. And yet they are victims. We had a call last weekend from a minor who was involved in trafficking, and they were ready to put her in a detention facility. She doesn't belong in a detention facility. She's a victim.
Now, Judge, what do you do in these kind of situations when you have people who are victims of human trafficking before you in the courtroom?
Well, Kyle, again, I get back to the need and to follow up on what Jane has said in terms of collaboration. You know, I have my own niche, and my niche is to assess cases, and if it's a criminal matter, to impose a punishment for the person standing before me. I need to make sure that the right person is standing before me. I can tell you that on one occasion, a while back, I had a young woman who had been convicted of not a sex offense, but a drug-related offense. And it came to my attention that there were some connections she had to others that gave me great concern that she may have been a victim of human trafficking. And so one of my punishments or penalties, if you will, because that's what it is in the criminal context, was I required that there be coordination with Manassa over on the west side of the state, who provides services for trafficked victims. I did not impose a jail sanction for her because, as Jane indicated, jail is not where victims belong.
You're listening to Current State on WKAR 90.5 FM. I'm Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter, filling in for Mark Bayshore. We're being joined right now with Judge Michelle Rick and Jane White. And the subject is human trafficking. And Judge, I want to get back to you on something Jane said about training in the legal system. What's your viewpoint on training and what can be done to improve that?
Well, it's vital, and it's vital that it be a collaborative training, which is why our conference is bringing together people from different disciplines so that we hear the same message, so that we can have an open dialogue that is not specific to a particular case, and that we can map out strategies for providing services to victims and to ensure that wrongdoers are prosecuted.
Jane, what is the most misunderstood aspect of human trafficking?
Probably that victims identify themselves. They do not identify themselves.
What do you mean by that? They don't consider themselves victims?
That's a good point that you just made. They do not. Very often, the word trafficking as such is absolutely foreign to them. It is only through talking what it is that they're involved with that we understand that there's unbelievable control on their lives. And the control has been made in terms of a promise that their life is going to be better, whether it is through sexual exploitation in a relationship or whether it is through labor trafficking on want a job. So when we talk about the fact of identifying victims, it's very, very difficult for us to fully understand, and that's why we need some research on this as to how we better identify victims.
There are some public information campaigns designed to prevent human trafficking, and this includes things like signs posted at highway rest stops, like the judge had mentioned, and other public places. Another well-known example is a project called SOAP, Save Our Adolescents from Prostitution, founded by a former HT victim, Teresa Flores. What's your take on how well these preventative strategies are working?
Any kind of strategy that might appear to have value is certainly looked at. But then again, we need to look at our resources and identify those that are effective. And we need to do that through reliable research. We really do, because we need to do in the right direction how effective kinds of things are to bring victims forward.
And Judge, what happens after this conference? And we've talked a little bit earlier about the conference that's coming up in Ann Arbor on human trafficking. What's going to keep an after-action report from gathering dust on the shelf?
Thank you. Well, again, our last piece of the day tomorrow will be to invite our teams to brainstorm and then to follow up in their respective communities with an action plan. The commission is dedicated not only to being available for those communities, but we also intend to make this a regular event. Just to give you some perspective, Kyle, we announced the conference to state court judges to assemble teams. And within several weeks, we were at capacity for 200 people. And we have a waiting list of over 160 people. So we know that there are communities that are anxious and desirous of getting more information so that they can plan and act accordingly.
Now, who are some of the, is there going to be a speaker at this conference? What does the agenda look like?
I'm glad that you asked that. Our agenda includes an overview of human trafficking by Elizabeth Campbell, who is at the University of Michigan at the Human Trafficking Clinic. We will have a presentation on FBI case studies and the Trafficking Task Force. I am personally delighted that a judge from Columbus, Ohio, by the name of Paul Herbert, is coming to talk about his catch court. And then we have breakout sessions so that our law enforcement judges and victim services providers can get a perspective from a group of panelists.
Well, that's very interesting. And Jane, I'm assuming you're going to be at this event too in Ann Arbor. Can you just give our listeners a little background where specifically it is and what time?
I will let the judge do that because I'm really not very good at addresses.
All right, please.
That's
judge.
Okay. We'll be at Weber's Inn in Ann Arbor, and we will begin about 8:30 and we'll go for the entire duration of the day.
We've been talking today about human trafficking in Michigan in advance of the first statewide conference to be held on the issue tomorrow in Ann Arbor. Michelle Rick is a circuit court judge presiding in Clinton and Gratiot counties. She's a member of the Michigan Human Trafficking Commission, and Jane White is the director of the Michigan Human Trafficking Task Force. Thanks to you both, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.